Hello, hello.
Hello.
Where are we going, Matt?
Where are we going, Megan?
I think we're going to visit our new guest.
We're on the road.
Yeah, we're on the road. Guest. Yeah. This would be the first time that we're going to a guest's house. And I think the last time we had someone over was our friend Jeff Ramone. He came to our place. Our friend Josh. We call him Hootie for short. And he's a DJ, and he's an artist in Chicago, and he hails from Milwaukee. He's been our friend for, gosh, I'd say 6 or 7 years now. But we're really excited because, you know, we're still in phase 3, phase 4 in Chicago. So that means 20 people or less in one place at a time. So stay tuned for our guest, Josh, and our conversation with him tonight on the Night Owl.
Yay! So exciting!
There he is, popping out. How are you?
Good.
Good to see you. Oh my gosh, you're like new and improved with the haircut. Was it getting too hot eventually?
Yeah, I just wanted to change.
Yeah, it looks great. The curls look amazing.
How you doing?
Yeah, I love it.
Thank you.
All right.
Oh my. How are you guys?
We're good.
Right, how are you?
I'm good.
I'm still thinking about that steak dinner you made me last time I was here.
So good.
It was so delicious. All right, guys. Hello, hello.
Hello.
I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
You're listening
to
the Night Owl. So we're here with our good friend, Josh.
Hey, what's
How's
up?
It going?
Josh, a.k.a. Hootie.
All right.
Yeah. So this is the first time that we were able to go visit a guest. Usually during the quarantine, we've been doing a lot of phone calls because we weren't able to have any one-on-one contact. And then we had our friend Jeff Ramone come to our place a few weeks ago. So we are very blessed to have you let us into your new apartment.
Your new abode.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's great. It's great living here. I live with one of the guys from Good Sex, Colin, and Dean's wife, and lady friend, Gabby. And, yeah, it's been really nice living here. And quarantine's been interesting. It's kind of crazy moving into a place right when quarantine hit, but it's good.
Were you here in Chicago during the quarantine, or were you?
I went up to Milwaukee for about a month to visit my mom, and then, you know, it was weird, and then eventually I was like, well, I got to get back down here with music, and you know. Making music with the FD Boys and, you know, DJing and whatnot and doing live streams, starting to get back into it.
That's good.
That's just been quarantine life for me. Lots of music, lots of production and live streams and whatnot.
Amazing. So how does it feel doing the live streams in comparison to playing in a venue?
So, like, live streams are a little, they're weird. But I think it's just, like, about you wanting to get out this music that you've been listening to, just sharing music, like, and trying to, like, bring a little bit of joy to somebody's, like, day. For instance, I did this one stream for Duke Shin. We were doing a kind of a Lakes of Fire, Place in Fire thing from the festival up there in Rothbury. Had a great time there last year, and so Duke was like, hey, man, we're looking for guys that have DJed there before. And I think you'd be a great fit. And I was like, yeah, definitely. So I picked up a slot there, and it was really great having all this input on the chat. You know, that was a really cool experience. People say, yeah, this is making my day. So that part's pretty rewarding, that it can actually make a difference here and there. So
yeah, you can really save somebody.
Yeah, power of music. When you're doing your live stream, was it from here then?
Yeah, it was right from my living room, right where we're sitting right now.
Nice. Good energy, good vibes.
Yeah, good energy.
Yeah.
Completely alone here, but not on the interwebs.
So. Yeah.
And just like the vibe was there, even though it wasn't. I don't know if that makes sense.
It was the internet, the digital vibes.
Inner vibes.
Yeah. And we have to realize that people are real, and that even though we're online, we're still real behind the TV screen or the computer screen. So you are reaching the hearts of people that you know and that you don't know. And I think live streaming does reach a broader audience of people.
Certainly. You know. Yeah, because you can be anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, you know, somebody could be tuning in from Paris. That's the beauty about it, is that you can pretty much see any artist anywhere. I know we all miss the dance floor.
I know. So why don't you tell the listeners, you know, when you started going to Smart Bar? Because I know when Matthew and I started doing the podcast, we really were just doing it to kind of reminisce about our days going there and going to our after parties and all the raves and stuff.
Kind of late to the party in terms of, like, everything, you know? I got down here to do graduate school in 2010. And then after grad school, you know, I was really involved with classical music and less so the electronic side. And then I, you know, went to Smart Bar, heard Derek, you know, play live, and everything started to change there. You know?
Shout out to Derek.
Derek, I mean, I think we all started going at the same time. Did you know of Derek before coming here to Chicago then?
Or was that...
Or any other DJs?
Only in legend, really.
Okay.
You're like, he's real.
He's real.
Yeah, he's hella real. But... Yeah, so that's kind of been my thing. I guess I got into Smart Bar like 5 years ago.
Were you more just a queen night or just any kind of Smart Bar?
Yeah,
4 or 5 years ago. I usually go to see Derek or like other artists that I like. I never really got into like the culture until I started really producing music and like, you know, getting together, starting to DJ and stuff, and just really kind of snowballed. And I'm happy to have a foot in both worlds, in the classical music and electronic.
Then what was it like actually getting to play at Smart Bar, right? I mean, that had to be a...
Yeah, that was really big. I remember the first time I played there, actually, it was for the 3 Feet Deep guys. Shout out to you guys. We put on an event with them, and I can't remember who was playing. I know Kristen Rue just got back from Ultra, so he was like beat, and so he was like, "Hey man, you wanna play? You got a USB on you?" And I was like, "Oh,
all you need is a USB."
Was like done, and so that was the first time I really got to play at Smart Bar. Not really, but like just like a few tracks.
Yeah.
It's still something. I mean, that's
still getting called up there. Yeah, I
mean, you were behind the deck.
Behind the fun. Exactly.
But then Olin, he asked me to host a night there because he, you know, he had an opening and he's seen us around making music and, you know, putting out tracks, and we have our own kind of tribe that we, you know, take pride in. And so he asked me to do a night, and I was like, okay, this is it. I guess we're doing this. And so we kicked off some really great nights there with Recess, with my boys, Nikhil Gidwani and Ghost.
I remember those nights. I think about what I see about you is that you are willing to try new things. You're never one to kind of manifest negative energy. I feel like you always really open for opportunity. And in my opinion, I think that's why you're where you are and why you're so knowledgeable with music. And I think you were probably my story about meeting you.
Oh, yeah.
In my own way, and then introducing you to Matthew. And that was way before you were even DJing. I think you were still doing your
festival career. That's where I was just kind of getting into, like, you know, going to Smart Bar.
Yeah.
Experiencing music.
Yeah. And then when you met Derek Carter, we were like, don't forget us. Because we would go to the same parties. You would invite us to parties, and we would see you walk in with them. And we're like, where is he going? We have to wait in line.
We had some good days. I mean, I feel like you guys don't even wait in line anymore.
No, not anymore, but that's the fast track.
Derek has called it Stolen Grace. I believe were his words, Stolen Grace.
I like that.
I like that. Yeah.
Yes, I definitely took advantage of that stolen grace.
Yeah, I think that's great.
And who won it? Who won it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I've only had one or two people that mentored me when I was doing hair, and being a part of that world and looking through their eyes and them really seeing potential in you, it's really rewarding.
Yeah.
And you were able to kind of merge into this AT label.
Yeah, well, they really reached out to me, and you know, me and Ghost were producing tracks under the Deomon, D-E-O-M-O-N, moniker, and then McKeel came around, and you know, we just formed a team, and now it's just been like full steam ahead. Those guys are putting out a lot of music. We've got a bunch of backlog music that we're excited to release that's coming out very soon. Just making a ton of music with those guys, and it's a blast. We're working on some collaborations with Tomcat Trumpet, which is an awesome dude who's definitely bouncing around the scene. And,
yeah, I was trying to do some video for him before the quarantine hit.
Great energy from
him. Yeah, and he's a really positive guy.
I can't wait until we can all get together and slam some stuff out on a really loud system.
Yes. So. I mean, shit, just come to our new place. We'll have to warn the neighbors.
No, like I said, as soon as we empty out the old place.
Yeah, maybe we can do it as a parting gift. I don't know. Everyone in our building is moving out, so there won't be any neighbors to piss off. I think that's great to be able to collaborate with other artists. I mean, I think in my career as a videographer, I'm always looking to capture artists in their element, and being able to film you and the boys, Nikhil and Ghost, shredding on the turntables, and it was just, it's very much a delight. I think those were one of the last gigs that I filmed was you guys at Smart Bar.
Probably.
And I think you played with, I think it was you and Jaggy too. I think Jaggy was there.
Oh yeah,
those. We did that one with Cam too.
Oh yeah, that one was actually like a Hootie's house night.
Yeah.
We actually, yeah, did a little tag set there. That was fun.
Yeah, and we had a good turnout. And I think that Smart Bar having their Thursday nights really is nice because they can introduce new artists.
I think some of my favorite nights have been on that Thursday, whether it was an artist coming through town or a new local artist, like
to kind of like audition and play. And then you'd see him on a Saturday and you're like, well, I guess you made it. Like there's an actual, you know, cover tonight. I think Matthew and I, when we talked about Smart Bar in the podcast, I think almost every story we had ended up, you know, going into talking about it because it's still very underground and inclusive, but also felt like we were a family, especially on those queen nights.
Yeah, I mean, you can remember when the bathrooms were separate now.
Yeah.
Remember when?
And they had less lighting, and yeah.
Now that's the disappointing part, right? This quarantine had to hit just as they kind of, I don't know. They repaired something. Yeah, I don't think I really got to experience much of the new lighting there or anything.
They're slowly always, I think, making it a little bit better. There's changes here and there. It's usually, it's like, you know, like, I feel like every couple of years they do something to it.
Now, I forget with this last one, did they upgrade any of the speakers then?
No, it's always, I think it's, well, I don't know when that sound system was installed, but.
Jeff would have a heart attack if they changed those speakers.
If they changed the last speaker.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, that Function 1 4-point sound system is amazing.
It's dope, yeah. Joe really knows his shit.
Best in the country, if not the world, I think.
Yeah, so. The fact that they're able to stay open and be that successful for that long and not really have nights where, I mean, I guess going as a patron, they've had some slow nights, but not enough to bankrupt
them. Other clubs like Primary or something like that, then? I mean,
Primary was a different issue. That was the neighborhood kind of. I don't know the details about all that, but like, you know, that was more of an issue, I think, with the community around.
Oh, that's right. They did.
It wasn't very safe.
I was just trying to take some of the other, what was it? The two right by each other, Spy Bar and Sound Bar?
I think it's Spy Bar and, yeah, Spy Bar and Sound Bar are near each other. Yep. And then there's like Y Bar, and I don't even know if that's still open.
I don't think so. I think
yeah.
I don't know what that is now. But
It was like a cocktail lounge, but they had a little dance floor. And the last time I went was with Matt and I used to have these friends that we would go out to primary and mid and underground with them when they would come into town. And I think I went with Lily. She was one of our friends that I went with to Y Bar, and they had an 80s night, and it was just so cheesy. Like, the cocktail waitresses were wearing afros, and they weren't even black girls. Like,
was it last year that you did you play summer camp?
Yeah, that was last year.
Because I remember, I mean, I went to that festival when it first started, and there was, like, nobody.
You stopped going.
I remember going there when they started to allow EDM-type kind of music. And now it had a whole stage, so I was just curious, what was your...
It was cool. It was really nice of the Good Bus guys, the Good Looks crew, to bring us on and play on the bus. We really had a blast with them, and it was just, like, very cool kind of going out and just the experience of getting prepared for it and, you know, making the trek out there as a kind of a techno band, if you will, air quotes.
The crowd pretty receptive, or
yeah, it was cool. It was. We went on right after a pretty big name, I think, on the bus, and then there was another artist playing at like a separate tent. So a lot of people went there, but it was just cool playing it fast, you know, like and. Being able to have that experience.
Did you stay in a hotel or did you camp there?
We camped out.
Okay.
Yes.
I think I might have hung out with you before you went, and I remember you saying, like, I might have to really shower when I get back, because you guys probably didn't shower the whole time.
I think actually we went straight from summer camp, or I went straight from summer camp to Detroit.
Yeah, you were going to Detroit after. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when you were like, I'm going to shower as soon as I get there.
Yeah, that was a little much. But.
And I've never been to summer camp. Matt always used to go with his boys.
Yeah, there's lots of jam bands there. It's a really eclectic group, eclectic mix of people.
It even got to a point they were going to discontinue it, and the actual town there, Chillicothe, actually raised a stink and was like, man, this is our big moneymaker. We need you to keep coming back.
Right.
So it used to be really small.
You know, it started out those first couple of years, it was probably well under 3,000 people, and now it's probably at least around close to 20, maybe north, maybe a little south of that.
Yeah, I would say
right.
I mean, I saw Pretty Lights there. He was like in one of those little tents at 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, Bass Nectar was same way. 2 o'clock in the morning under one of those little tents. And then like 2 years later, those same artists actually had a headlining stage.
Wow.
That's very cool.
Kind of shows you the progression of dance music.
Yeah.
It's exponential.
Think about Lollapalooza. It used to be kind of those little side stage. One year it was like, oh, they're headlining big stages.
And now they're like 4 days a week.
Robinson. Oh my God, you're on the big stage. Okay.
Yeah. I think last year their music wasn't... I heard that they were like... giving tickets away.
Oh, yeah. No, they're definitely
they're way behind.
I think they've
run their course at least. I don't know if they're going to...
Their course.
Yeah. I think sometimes they get too big and then, you know, I thought it was a little overkill when they did 4 days instead of 3. Because, and even when I went one time, I went for VIP and you still had to wait in line just as long. I mean... It kind of defeated the purpose.
So did you happen to have anything kind of lined up in the pandemic?
Yeah, that's really unfortunately. We just pressed our own record. I actually have one over here. I could show
you. Yeah, go grab it.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to. Yeah, nice.
Those pre-pandemic plans that get
vinyl.
Shattered.
Rest.
So you still collecting?
I'm getting into vinyl slowly but surely. It can be expensive. That's... You gotta buy a whole record if, like, you know, you want one track on the album. But we just printed our own record, and so that's what like
Wow.
sampler. We were gonna have a record release party at Gramophone. Shout out to Michael Serfini. But then this hit right as we were about to do that. So that's something we were really looking forward to. And we're still looking forward to doing it when we can.
For the listeners, if you guys are wondering what Gramophone is, it's a local record store owned by Michael Serafini, who is also a DJ, and it's in Chicago. And he's got a whole setup in there. He's got tons of records to look through. Has he reopened it recently, or is he still having closed up?
I'm not sure what's going on with that. I need to get back to the shop. I think people can still come in and dig for records, but.
Probably wear gloves.
Yeah, it might work. Yeah, I could see that.
Because it's just strange how some things are open and some are not. And
yeah, even you can go to their store online, and they can ship you the records. So,
okay. Yeah.
That. So you can order an Athete record from them.
All right.
They have their store on
Discogs. Support our artist.
Yes, we have to. We have to support.
Yeah, so this is on Discogs, I think, in their store. Grandpa Records is an awesome place. It's steeped in history, and I love going there and digging for records. But,
And they'd have Boiler Room Night sometimes there. They'd have streaming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was really fun to be able to go to those. And also, when you go, it's just like there's a little listening area. You can listen to the records before you buy them, and it's mm-hmm. quite a nice place. I remember actually cutting Jacob's hair in the back alley.
That's right.
Over there. I used to cut Jacob's hair a few years back, and he worked at Gramophones. He's also a DJ, and Michael was like, "Yeah, you could totally cut his hair outside. It's fine."
Perfect.
It's like, this is great. I'm cutting hair at Gramophone. Where do you draw your inspiration when you play or when you listen to music? What is something that you kind of gravitate to?
The sense of community that I'm going to be sharing this music with people I love and kind of creating a vibe around it so that I know that this music is going to be like what brings us together. You know, and I think that's really what drives me is bring the tribe together.
Yeah, we need to find our tribe. We've all been separated. So it's nice to be able to find your family like that mm-hmm. and having community.
Yeah, and that's the thing about dance music is that we're all kind of the same community, which makes it beautiful in that you can, you know, go to a place like that. I think that's why another reason why that pandemic is so hard is that you can go to a place like Smart Bar and know that you're going to be home there, you know? You're not going to feel uncomfortable, you know? You're not going to have
community.
Worries.
I mean, it's family. We've talked about that. I mean, that's just why we love.
You're
going to
see people you know and love. And,
or meet new people.
Have amazing times with and also meet new people, you know? We'll also have like minds, you know? Because they're in this community that we call house. So.
Yes, and I think that no matter what your background is, your orientation, your lifestyle, that type of music brings everyone together. I mean, it really speaks to me. I mean, there have been some nights where I just didn't want to leave because the music was just so good.
Mm-hmm. So as a DJ, then, is that what you're primarily trying to stick to is house then?
Well, so when I DJ under Hootie, I primarily kind of DJ house, funk, soul, anywhere in there, disco, definitely disco. I also have a kind of a darker techno side to me. I have these kinetic sections nights at Exit, which, you know.
Oh, great place for techno.
Yeah, it really is. I love playing there. It's grimy and it's dirty, but I love it because, you know, we can all be grimy and dirty sometimes. Right?
Oh, I love the crunchiness sometimes with those heavy beats. And
you don't think about it. It makes you move.
Kinetic sessions.
Yeah.
That's an exit. So I also do that.
We've always enjoyed watching you play solo and play with Athey, and I feel like I've seen you grow up these past few years watching you play.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we've seen you play with what, kind of like a keyboard and...
Yeah, different mixers.
Different mixers.
We played all sorts of stuff, yeah.
And then what do you play for percussion?
I primarily play timpani,
okay.
Which is the kettle drums at the back of an orchestra, so like, have you ever heard Space Odyssey?
Okay. Dun, dun, yeah. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
I think it's Beatles here, maybe a little Fantasia, maybe.
Yeah. Can't pay for the common man. But so yeah, that's my primary instrument. But I play all the percussion.
Do you good with the rhythm?
Yeah, if like a church meets a rock drummer, or you know, I gotta play a musical, you know, playing random trap kit for a 1940s musical. I'm there,
wow.
You know.
Wow.
Cushion, not string or woodwind, or
that's just how the cards felt. I started out with piano when I was like 4, and then I played piano for 15 years or so, and then inside of that, I started percussion when I was what happened? It was middle school, because I started on a trumpet, and like I was like, this hurts my lips. And I was like, what won't hurt my lips? And I'm like, perfect, percussion, that works.
I can use my hands.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
This hurts my lips.
We can think the pain of, that trumpet.
Well,
yeah.
You wanted to play.
I wanted to play the flute.
You wanted to play the flute. I played the flute.
The flute
yeah.
Can be epic.
Yeah.
Jethro Tull, Ron Burgundy.
Yeah. I mean, was not to be.
Ron Burgundy was kind of like the Jethro Tull inspired character.
Yeah,
you play jazz rock, flute.
I mean,
yeah.
Yes.
That is
yes, flute. Come up here and play yes, flute for everybody.
So yeah, then I started percussion when I was like probably a grade or so. And then I just continued that, and now I have my master's in percussion. So that's cool. But it just really stinks with this pandemic, you know, because it was already a dying art, and you know, it's going to be hard to keep
get
it
back
afloat.
Into, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of things that I think are fearful for that won't come back. But I think that now we're trying to evolve, not just with wearing masks and being
gatherings.
Yeah, we just
hope,
have to figure out how to make money and how to, how to kind of survive. I mean, I think people are still shell shocked about it, that we're still in this pandemic, and it's going to take a while. I think this is one for the books for me. I've never lived through one before.
Yeah, I'm not sure, especially with the clubs. I mean, it's good to see that. I think Smart Bar will be okay, and some of the other kind of venues around here, but.
Well, Matthew and I have been donating to Save Our Sages.
Mm-hmm. Yes, everybody should do that.
Yeah.
That's really important for our team, and just to keep the arts afloat, you know.
Yeah, because remember the days where schools were cutting art music class?
They still are, still do.
Yeah, no. I think now we have to bring them back.
What do they say, Earth without art is just
pretty much.
I like that. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yep.
Boring.
Art is everywhere. What I've been saying the past few episodes is we have to basically make our art to tear down the patriarchy and have a voice for everybody, because it's the most positive way to communicate. And you can really tell a story, you can really move people with it. What kind of links did you want us to share for the episode? Are there any links that you want the listeners to go to for you?
Just a few records on Facebook. You can find us Facebook, SoundCloud, Beatport, TrackSource, iTunes, Spotify. So just look us up, a few records. I believe on YouTube we're a few. A double a thief all the way. And then if you want to check out my mixes under Hootie, lots of great stuff in there. If you're just hanging out with family or whatever, doing whatever, just chores around the house, some good stuff in there to listen to. That's going to be on Mixcloud, just under Hootie.
And are you on Bandcamp at all?
We are also on Bandcamp.
Okay.
So I have some releases, and there's going to be a lot more releases coming out in the near future, because I just purchased a Electron Digitech, which is an amazing little
groove box. Mm.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
it's a fun little toy. But yeah,
he calls it a toy. I love it.
But yeah, so that's it.
Nice. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, coming on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me, and also coming to me. I really appreciate that.
No, thank you for sharing. We really wanted you to kind of come on, because I know some of our experiences have been your experiences, and definitely kind of starting out there and then seeing you get to grow, and like I said, it's just so cool. Yeah,
I mean, we just still have those distant memories, you know.
We do.
We go back. Yeah, we're homies. Yeah, we go way back. Thank you guys for listening tonight. We will be sure to post this soon. Hopefully we can have another session with you.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Especially when you get some more of those music out and bring it back.
Yeah, maybe we can just make a live set for you to play.
Yes.
Snap.
We might do a live stream. We could do a YouTube live stream because we're on YouTube as well.
I like what we're thinking here.
Yeah, it might be our first video on our YouTube platform.
That would be spectacular.
Yeah, we're going to spoil the listeners with that. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Best of you. Yeah, that would be great.
We want to tell you guys to stay healthy, stay happy, and wear a goddamn mask. I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to
The Night Owl.